Good morning from Harvest Christian Fellowship Maple Ridge on this beautiful and sunny day that God has bestowed upon us. We are excited because we know God, through His Holy Spirit, is with us as He promised. Our hope is that you will be edified as you join us for our hour of worship, which includes Pastor Gordon's message, Following God as His Dear Children.
Meet you in the morning. Just inside Eastern Gate over there. I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning over there. If you hasten on to glory, linger near the Eastern Gate.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me.
So then let's turn into Ephesians chapter 5 again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. A very, very intriguing passage if you think it through, and if you've been following the messages from Ephesians with a deep sincerity of understanding what Paul has been saying to us in this marvelous passage. When I was looking at the web this morning, I was reminded that so far we covered a multitude of things. But let me just refresh your memory what we started with way back in the fall last year. We discovered, first of all, that God, the creator, the sustainer of heaven and earth, gives us our peace. He gives us our identity, and then he also gives us our sense of unity. And these are so expressly important for you and I as the people of God in the Church of Jesus Christ to understand that our whole significance of living the faith walk is centered in Jesus Christ, who brings us back to God. Jesus never brings us to himself. He is the path that brings us back to God the Father. As we are distilled and instilled with an awareness of his love because of the inworking power of the Holy Spirit that convicts us that Christ's sacrifice for sin is sufficiently sufficient to please the heart of God so that we no longer are held responsible for our sins, but we can find absolute unrestrained forgiveness from them. What a glorious thought it is this morning that you and I are born again from above through the Spirit of Christ, and we are fully accepted by the Father as if we had never sinned, and we call that to be justified by faith. And then what a glorious thought, as Paul writes, that we should grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we should not only be immersed in the knowledge of Christ, that we should be satiated like a sponge with the knowledge of Christ, so that we may know him whom to know is life eternal, so that through the preaching of the word and through the edification of the saints, we may become mature in him, so that having done all to stand, we in that great day will be able to stand. Paul has understood that the complicit mind of man is self-sufficiency. You and I know that it is very difficult at times to be taught to do something else because we have already been taught in ourselves what we think is the appropriate lifestyle for the betterment of our good end. But Paul wants to arrest our mind, and he has been telling us in chapter 4 earlier about the things that we need to put on guard so that we can put off and put on, so that we can walk faithfully before the Lord. And still now, in Ephesians chapter 5, he again says to us that we should be followers of God as his dear children. It is very, very significant that Paul now has adequately explained to us that following God is to be the exact duplicate as a reflector of all that he is. No longer is it us and our personhood, our will, and our own established good end that we live out. Rather, we live out the divine will, the divine purpose, the divine kingdom, as Christ himself lived it out, so that we may know him whom to know is life eternal. So today we want to look at the first premise of following God. And Paul says it is as his dear children. It is very, very important that you understand every word in that simple phrase, as his dear children. The Greek word as that we use in the English language is very, very, very deep with meaning. The Greek word has four basic translations. The very first translation that we could use is, after this manner, walk as his dear children. And that is the idea of taking Christ as an example, or God as an example, and learning all the traditional moral stands that he gives to us, so that we can reflect to others the goodness, the righteousness, the faithfulness, the integrity, the love, and the grace, and the mercy, and all those attributes that he himself possesses. The second principle of as is the idea of similitude, where we walk in step with God so that we can be his dear children. It would be like a military parade. Everybody is in sync, doing exactly the same thing at the same time for the same good end, with the same good purpose, because of the same directive authority of God. This understanding is very welcomed if you wanted to be legalistic, and if you wanted to follow God out of duty rather than out of love. The third idea of following God is the idea how you've been instructed to follow God in the Word, by the Holy Spirit, by his example, and by the preaching of the Word. And so what this concept of following God as his dear children signifies is that you are mentored to following God as his dear children. But the most powerful, the most extravagantly beautiful context of this word is simply this: as his dear children. What it means is this: that you find, you discover, and you start living out the simplistic fact that the DNA, the genetic structure, the mindset, the purposed end of your will is to be exactly like God himself. When we come to understanding this concept of as his dear children, our heart warms within us with a sense not of superiority complex, but of a gracious welcoming complex, that we have been totally established in Christ to God as a valued part of his family. No longer does he hold us off as strangers. Not only does he teach us, not only does he give us an idea, but now he takes our will and he blends it so beautifully with his will that the only good end that we have is to live him out to others. So, if we are following God as his dear children, the very first thing that people would see in our life is the radiance of the Holy Spirit flowing out of us. And it would be of no consequence of danger when they say to you and I, there's something radically different about your life, your smile, your walk, and your conduct. Tell me about it. And the response is, it is God living in me. The second premise is this: we follow God, or we imitate God as his dear child. It is very, very important for you and I to understand that as imitators of God, people are learning who this God is. And as we walk, and as we talk, and as we live out our life, the simplistic thing is this: that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, so that we can be transformed in our mind to live out the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God alone. You see, in John chapter 3:16, Jesus tells Nicodemus this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. When we process that verse in our mind, we need to understand that God did not send Jesus Christ to give us just a good feeling, a welcoming feeling, a fresh feeling of acceptance. He gave us his divine life, everlasting life. This everlasting life, Paul says, is the power of God unto salvation through the word of God. Now, because while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God sent forth his Son to be the propitiation, or to be the go-between for us. We are no longer of our own. We now are his dear children, purchased by his blood. The seal of ownership has been changed. At one time, Romans chapter 6 says that we were the servants of Satan, but now we have become the servants of God. In Galatians chapter 4, the Bible says that we were children under the law, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman, that we may become the children of God. In Romans chapter 8, we are told that we call God Abba Father, and he hears us, and he answers our prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we are told to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Everywhere in the Bible, Jesus indicates that those that are not born of God are children of the devil. In John chapter 8:44, he says, And you are the children of the devil, and the works he does, you do also. And later on, he tells those same people that are born of God that they are the sons of God if they accept him as their Savior. God, to most individuals, is distant and removed. He is the unknown in their life, like the people in Rome in Acts chapter 17. God, our Father, is not distant and removed with us. He is nearby and can be happily found if we seek him with all of our hearts. My dear brothers and sisters, Paul writes that whenever God called anybody to follow him, it was an elementary issue of abandoning themselves to grow into the knowledge of Christ and God. When we think about being his dear child, we need to remember, Paul says, that before the foundations of the earth, you were chosen in Christ to be his child, before the foundations of the world was ever laid. Now, I don't know what that means to you, to be God's dear child. Well, let me tell you what it means to me. It means basically this. There is absolute nothing that restricts you from having full audience with God. And with confident trust, you are able to speak to him your mind, your heart, your will, your sorrows, your past, your present, your future, knowing that because you are his child, he is actively waiting to become an inseparable participant in every breath, every pulsation of your heart, and every step that you walk on planet Earth. Come with me and let's talk about Brother Noah for a few minutes. Brother Noah, he's there, he's living his ordinary life. And all of a sudden God starts speaking to him and says, Noah, you found favor with me. I need your help because I know that you trust me without any reservation. Noah, when I created you, I knew that you were trustworthy. I knew that you were submissive. I knew that you were integral. I knew that you could be counted on. But you see, Noah, I've got a problem. The sins have come before me of the nations. And Noah, I want you to start building an ark.
and Noah started to build the ark. The Bible tells us that for 120 years he built this ark. Can you imagine walking with God for 120 years without knowing the full end of what they're doing? Having unwavering confidence? So Noah builds the ark and people laugh and mock and scoff. And the rain started to come and Noah's in the ark. And God uses Noah. Why? Not because of who Noah was in himself, but it was because of God recognized Noah as being his dear child. He had full expressed right to direct his path because God had the privileged possession of Noah for his good end. Do you think Noah fully understood when he started to build that ark with the full plank, the end? Do you not think that Noah got tired after 40, 65, 75, 110 years? On the 120th year, the Lord told him the rain's coming, and he looked at God and said, "Come on, God, let's negotiate honestly here. It's been 120 years and it still hasn't happened." But God had full confidence to carry Noah despite his doubt because he was his dear child. My dear friends, you may have doubting times in your life. You may have times of distress and despair, desolation, and all the rest of the travesty that would discourage you from following God. But I want to let you know that no matter how your passionate love towards God is, because He has redeemed you by the blood, He has sealed you with His Holy Spirit, and He has affirmed within your heart that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of God, you will always be held by the power of His right hand, because you will forever remain His child. His child. And I find that to be one of the comforting themes in my life. They are totally dependent upon God. They have an eagerness to learn, and they have an eagerness to spend amount of time with God. They accept His warm, welcoming affection without questioning. They have a readiness for discovery as they walk with God to see His will fulfilled in their life rather than their own. And they have a readiness to believe in, to trust, and to honor God in all that He does. They know that they are intensely valued by God because of His blood. They are fully aware of their standing in God as His dear children because He has declared unto them the mystery of His will, Ephesians 1:9. And they are absolutely certain that they are His dear children because they have been made fellow citizens of all the saints. And even though at times they were cut off from God, aliens from the household of faith, they are now part of His household with full access into the family of God. So we walk imitating God Himself. We walk because we are His children. But most affectionately, we walk with God, Paul will tell us, because we are His dear children. His dear children. In the Greek, there are three words that mean dear. The first word is the word that means to be cherished. It is the idea of having a pot of gold on the table here. I can look at the pot of gold and I can say to myself, the gold has got value over the pot. And every one of us would agree that the gold has more worth or value. But if I didn't have the pot in which to hold the gold, I wouldn't be able to have the gold here to look at, would I? The first idea of value is what we call the value of support. So you are dear because you are needed to support something. Like the Golden Years bridges, those pillars are dear to the infrastructure because they support the bridge. The second idea of dear to the Greek mind was this: beauty. And so as you go across the Golden Ears Bridge, you see the infrastructure. You don't see the pillars anymore. You see the whole bridge, the beauty of the whole bridge. What beauty would there be if there was 22 pillars standing out of the water with nothing else adding to it? So we see the infrastructure in its entirety. But then there's a third word to the Greek mind, and it has this. It's the intent or the purpose for the thing existing. For example, we could have the pillars of the Golden Ears Bridge. We could have the infrastructure that stands there. But if we had 4 or 5 big tanks at the end of the bridge, so nobody could ever drive across it, there would be no beauty in the usage of the bridge. In fact, it would be beguiling to all of us to have the bridge there. What's the point of having such a beautiful structure there if it can't be used? My brothers and sisters, we are followers of God as His dear children because of the beauty of the end result for our calling as His dear children. And Paul has already told us that it is this. It is to be the praise of His glory in everything we say, do, and in everywhere we go. To be the praise of His glory. So the radiance of our life, the radiance of our smile, the jubilation of our walk, the clarity of our speech, the whole identity is that we are satiated with the living God, so that if they never mention our name, they see the living God excitedly flowing out of us like the effervescence on the shaken bottle of pop. We used to sing, deep and wide, my cup is fully running over, and our life is pleroma. Our cup is filled to the brim and spilling over with God Himself. Because we are followers of God as His dear children. Amen? I have determined to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Cause before me, the world behind me.
The cross before me, the world behind me.
God richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesmer@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you. Yours in Christ. as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.